Accession number 18343, Reel 2.
Jim Brown, Reel 2.
As I say, he's got this letter from Harry England saying that he got an offer from various manufacturers like Raleigh and BSA and one or two other big, well-known firms, cycling firms, that they were going to send complete bikes out. And he said that they'd got about 9 or 10, I think it was, coming out. But eventually when they did get out there, and I'd got my own bike because I couldn't wait that long, you know, there was weeks were going by and I was dying to get out with the lads, you know, on the bikes. And I bought my own in the end. And eventually, when they did come out, there was over 100 bikes came out. And they were split up by this time, as I say. There was clubs springing up all over the place, you know, in these different camps. Because it was, you know, you wanted something to relax with, you know. As I say, at Mardi we had nothing. I mean, you just had to get on the train and go into Cairo. And, well, you know, there was only the cinemas down there, really, I suppose, and that. But, you were bored most of the time. I mean, I never bothered about leaving. And I couldn't see any point in having any leave. Although there was leave for people to go to Palestine, you know. But I didn't think much of that. I thought, well, it's just the same as here, you know. Because, I mean, you had the pyramids and all that sort of thing, but I had no interest in it. I mean, you just wanted to get the job over and done with and come home. Like, I mean, we had Italian prisoners there which were working, and they were just wandering about the camp, you know, doing their jobs, like whatever it was, you know what I mean? But, you know, no one bothered, and when we took them back at night, you know, we just got them on the vans and took them back to their camp, like, you know, and this went on daily, like, you know, we just had to keep guard on them, that, but they were quite decent chaps. I mean, they were just like ourselves, you know, just wanted to get home out of it. But, yeah, we managed like that all right.
Where did you buy your bike from then?
There was a chappy in Cairo, Joseph Bologna, his name was, sounds a funny name, but yeah, it's Bologna, and he supplied us with bikes, a reasonable price, I suppose, you know. But again, it was always the tyres and tubes that we was short of. They were the thing. I mean, if you had a bike that would take these wheels, they were mostly 28s, and if you get a frame that would take 28-inch wheels, you were all right with those. But anything under that, 26s and 27s, I mean, were very hard to get hold of, you know, the tyres and tubes. Anyway, we used to go out for 50-60 mile rides over the Delta on Sundays, or when we was off duty, like, you know. And we had some fun, I suppose, in that respect. I mean, at one time, I was unlucky one day. I was out one day and passing this, going along by the side of the, what they call the Sweetwater Canal, there was a camel. And as I was passing it, it swayed over to one side, caught me, and I went sailing right down into this canal. But, I mean, I just come up to me waist, and it wasn't all that deep because they irrigate the land with this water. They got some kind of it's an old fashioned, it goes back donkey's years, I suppose, to the times of the pharaohs. They've got this spiral drum that goes round, and it's driven round by an ox. This ox goes round and round it, and in turn it turns this spiral thing round, which draws the water up from the canal and into these troughs in the land on the delta there, and they grow all sorts of these, you know. And so it's all earth along there, like, you know. So it's they grow all sorts of things like tomatoes and lettuce and cucumber, watermelons and things like that. Yes, I went down into this canal, and because from them I got called, nicknamed the diver. I'll show you the letter afterwards, which Paddy Roebuck wrote about it. And another incident was when we was out one day, there was a chicken run across the road, and Paddy, as he happened to be, he happened to get this chicken ran into his front wheel. Of course, chopped its head off, and we stopped, and what's this thing running around in a road in a circle with no head on? It was rather a laugh, but the owner didn't think it funny, and he came out and raved on about this, and Paddy, knowing the language fluently, spoke to him and managed to console him, and gave him some money, and everything was all right, and he went off with his chicken hanging from his handlebars. That was just one of the funny incidents there. Another time we went through a village, and Ken Marshall said, the last time I went through here, because he knew the Delta inside out, like being one of the very first, because I suppose being out there early and being such a keen cyclist, he took up cycling. He had a really good racing bike at the time, and he'd been all over the Delta, and he said, we'd go through this village one day, and he said, I'm warning you chaps, he said, there's a bit of a vicious dog in this village. And we go cycling through, and then all of a sudden there was a huge roar of barking going on, you know, all over the place, and out came all these dogs, and we did nothing but just belted through this village as fast as we could, and Johnny managed to pick up a stone or something as we got to the end of the village, one came out from nowhere, and he just picked this stone up and threw it at this dog and caught it fair and square on the head, but didn't do it all that much harm. He just stunned it for a minute, and then we just carried on, got out the village, and then Johnny said to Ken, he said, you might have told us this dog had pups before he came through here. But yeah, that was another funny incident. Of course, right at the very beginning of the Bakshi Wellers, we had they organised a big dinner, and there must have been about a good 100 of us, I suppose, in this went to this dinner. Like, you know, we had all these different people, like, you know, attached to cycling, even writers and that, you know, that there was, of course, there was the editor that was called up during the war, Alex Josie. He was the editor of the cycling, but he was called up. He was in the RAF actually, and when it came to the racing, he was the timekeeper at these events, like, you know.
Why did they organise the dinner at the start of the Bakshi Wellers?
It was held at this, I can't remember the name of the place, but it was in Cairo, and
this wasn't to launch it?
No, it was, I don't quite know, it was just a meeting we had, and it got all these chaps that was interested and always attached to cycling, you know. There was even a manufacturer, their name was Taylor, who used to make bikes. He was one of the chaps that was invited, and various other people connected with journalism and all that in the cycling business, like, you know. And we had this meeting, people from club, you know, club members of the old days, like, you know, when in civilian life, you know, and then these members that were out there who knew about or heard about the site, the Bakshi Wellers, all came to this big dinner, like, you know. We had this, I'll show you a photo over there in a moment, for all the crowds that was, that were there, you know, was able to get to this dinner, like, you know. They come from all out from, I suppose, various parts, because there was a long some had to come down from the canal zone, you know, along there, which was the canal from was about 90 miles, I suppose, from Cairo, something like about 90 miles. And they were all along various parts of the canal, right up to Portside. The RAF was there as well, of course, the 112 maintenance unit at RAF at Portside. They had a big camp up there, and they sent they sent some riders down from there to race, you know, in the Grand Prix de Gazeera, which was held on an island just around the Nile in Cairo. It's an island, like, you know, and where the Nile splits into two, and it goes round and leaves this island in the middle called Gazeera Island. And there was this race held every year. Well, they still call it that now, although it's not raced there. Of course, it's raced. It's held in England, but they still call it the Grand Prix de Gazeera. It's a 50-mile, I think it's 50 miles, 70 times around this circuit of the island, like, makes up to 50 miles.
Did you go on it yourself?
Yeah, I went in it, but I got caught in a pile-up, and I couldn't ride because my bike was, front wheel was buckled too much to carry on. But I did go in for other races. There was time trials, 25-mile time trials. I have a cup on in there, which I won for one of the races that we had. That was on the Fayoum Road, just by the pyramids, just past the pyramids on the Fayoum Road.
How was that organised?
That was organised by Buxy Wheelers. The chap who was the secretary of the racing section, and that was Ron Tinker. He came from Huddersfield. He was a Huddersfield chap. And he used to be in charge and organise all the racing that was going on there, like, you know, for our section anyway. But there was other sections in Palestine and other parts of the Middle East where they held their races, sort of thing, you know. And we used to, if we could, I mean, it was just depending on on our duties, like, you know, if it was on off duty, and then it was all right, but we could go to these places. But you know, it was just a question of if you had the time off, you know. I mean, if you was on duty, obviously you couldn't, unless you got someone to take your place, you could go, because I mean, some of these places were miles away, you know. I mean, over 100 miles away, you know, you had to get there, and it was not, wasn't all that easy, you know.
And all these different cycling clubs, they were all over the place. They were all,
yes,
called Buxley Wheelers.
Exile, yeah, they don't know names. Like, there was the Exile. I don't exactly know where they were, but that was another name of clubs, and all various names, like they gave themselves, you know, throughout the Middle East. There's probably a list of them I've got there somewhere, but I don't know exactly the names of all of them. But Exile was one of the, and Rafat, that was the RAF and Army Tura, and they called themselves Rafat.
RAF and Army
Tura. There's a place called Tura, yes. Sure. And there was the Army and Navy, Army and Air Force there, this big camp. And they called themselves Rafat, because it's RAF and Army Tura, so RAFAT.
So the Buxley Wheelers were only in Mardi?
In Cairo. Well, they started off in Cairo because, as I say, you know, with Johnny Walker and Paddy Roebuck, they sort of started it off, and different people were coming along. As I say, they bought bikes, and there was several, there's a dozen or so, and eventually I joined and went out with myself. So I was number 27 on my car, like. But as I say, now there's over, well over 2,000, nearly 3,000, so I understand. So.
Who was eligible to join the Bakshi Wheelers?
Well, anybody that was keen on cycling or in cycling clubs before, you know, civilian cycling clubs before the war.
Did you have to be in the services?
Oh, yes. Well, I'll say yes, you did, really, because there were civilians out there that joined, that came out with us, but they were just like, introduced to us, you know, they came out with us. Paddy knew some of them, you see, because being out there before the war and, understanding all the language and that and everything, he could get in touch with these people and that, and they came out with us often on our rides, you know. Even in racing, I think they came in as well. Because we had, I think he was a professional, or supposed to have been a professional, called Mustafa Lorry. He was there, supposed to be their champion, and he came out. He was in one or two of the races, but he never seemed to have got anywhere, like sort of came first in anything at all. Whether he was was a champion at the time, but wasn't quite up to the standard of our riders, and I don't know, but
he was an Egyptian.
Egyptian, yeah.
So you did have civilian members of the Bakshi Wheelers?
Yes, well, like they were just, invited to the right ride, it was like, you know. I don't think they were actually members. I mean, it was solely really for the services. It was, it started off, like, as I say, with relaxation for people on leave. As I say, I didn't bother about leave. I had no interest in leave because I couldn't see any point in just sitting in a camp all week, you know, doing nothing. You know, I wanted to be doing something, you know. It just didn't appeal to me to go on leave for doing nothing or just wandering around. So I never bothered. But then I heard that they had this camp in Palestine, and had all these different trips out, you know, to all these biblical places like Bethlehem and Dead Sea and that. And I thought, well, I'll have a shot at it, see what it's like. But that wasn't until 1944 when I went on this leave, and I was sorry that I didn't go before, because there was such a lot of interest in there, such as the Holy Sepulchre and places like that, you know.
The what?
Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus Christ was taken after he's crucified, and the stone where he laid, like, and all that. They never had any definite place, like, nothing was really, it was only assumed where these places were, like, you know, like where he was executed, where he was crucified and all that. They couldn't pinpoint the places, they only said whereabouts, you know, near enough, like where Bethlehem, where he was born in the stable. They only could assume where, you know, guess where it was. But
so was Jerusalem the farthest you went?
Yes, yeah. I did have the opportunity of going down to the to Luxor and places like that, where the Valley of the Kings were, but I understood it was about 120 down there, and 130, I don't know. That's too hot for me down there, so I never bothered to go down there.
But some people do.
Yeah, some did, yeah.
What was Egypt like as a country to do cycling in? In the Delta?
Oh, it wasn't too bad, I suppose, you know. We did have one day when we all went out, quite a number of us, and we were going to a place called Kanker. It was, it must have been somewhere in about 80 miles from Cairo. And quite a number of us set out. I think there must have been about 70 of us set out. Now, how we organised this was that Sam was going out as far as the barrage, which was a sort of a barrage across the Nile, you know, sort of like a dam, I suppose you'd call it. And that was about 15 miles out. And the next lot, I went out to about 50 kilos, I think it was, something like that, to another place and so on. And that was their destination. They were going to these places, and that was it. Well, I don't know how many there was left of us that had intended to go this distance of 80 miles or so, but it was a very, very windy day, terribly windy, and it was really hard going. And out of a lot of us, there was only three of us left on the last lap, if it were, you know. I think we had to do another 20-odd miles, 20, 30 miles. And there was just the three of us left, Paddy Roebuck, Ken Marshall and myself. And eventually Paddy got his puncher and he said, you carry on. He said to me and Ken, you carry on, I'll catch you up. But Ken said to me afterwards, he said, he won't catch us up. He said, he's all in, you can see that. Mind you, Paddy was 52, 53, I think, in age. Whereas we were only in our early 20s, we were about 24, 25, I suppose. And anyway, we rode on, and in the end, I had to give up because I thought, you know, it was getting such a hard task, you know. And but when I sat down for about five minutes or so, I happened to notice a signpost up along the road a bit further along this. It's all earth. It wasn't a proper road. It's all earth, like, you know, like corrugated earth. And I went along there and I saw that it was only 10 more kilos to this place. And I went along and Ken Marshall was waiting for me. So I guess you'd finish off. He said, I couldn't see you giving up after that little bit left. He said, I was going to come back and tell you how far it was. But he said, I took it that you were going to come on. No, I did, like, you know. But it was a really hard ride, that was. And but we never met these chaps from Alex. They were coming back from Alex, and we were supposed to meet them at this place. But it was so late in the day, I didn't expect to be there because it was such a hard ride, and we were, you know, it was only a slow ride up there, you know. So, but when we came back and much faster time, of course, with the wind behind us. But and we met these fellas actually again at this place, El Balar. It was about 50 kilos from Cairo, so yeah.
What were roads like in Egypt?
Well, they were pretty bumpy, like, you know. They weren't such as like we got here, like the asphalt road. They were just earth roads, and occasionally they used to throw water over them, like, you know, to keep the dust down and all that sort of thing, you know. But, it was very hard to ride on, you know, when it was dry. Well, even when it was wet, I mean, it got all the mud around your tyres and that, you know, around the wheels. But we managed all right on that. We didn't bother about that much. Well, on the main roads, like Alex, on the desert roads, they were all right because they were asphalt, so that was, you know, they were pretty firm. But although when we went to Alex on that particular day, we went through the asphalt roads through the desert. But on the delta roads, they were just earth roads, just as they, like, in a raw state.
Were there any dangers to you biking around Egypt?
Yeah, we occasionally got pelted with stones and, well, you know, bits of earth and stones and things like that at times when we went through some of the villages. But on the whole, we seemed to have gotten all right, you know, with the local people.
Why should they pelt you?
I don't know. It's just, I suppose, like, well, like you get everywhere. I mean, you get some of these people that think they can do a bit of fun by throwing stuff at you, sort of thing. we never got any injuries or anything like that. No one got any hurt at all. Not as far as I know, anyway.
Were they just doing it for a laugh? Or
yeah, more or less, I suppose. Yeah, just for a laugh, you know.
Were any of the villagers friendly or helpful?
Yes, I think so. Most of them were. We seemed to, you know, get... when we stopped at these different cafes, they used to... Well, I mean, they got to know us because we, you know, often went through these different... went through these places or stopped at these different places where we had our 11s, as it were, you know, and they looked forward to us, I suppose, you know. We never, you know, it was just like everywhere else, you know. They used to, well, I mean, obviously, they would, if a dozen or more of us went in there to buy tea or whatever, you know, which mostly of us did, like, we used to have tea, but, I was accustomed to them, you know, so they looked forward to us coming.
How were you dressed?
Oh, we just had shorts and shirts, you know, and just our khaki drill or PT equipment, like, which was like blue shorts and things like that, you know, white shirts. But
did you carry arms?
No, never carried arms or a respirator or anything like that. We just went out, just like an ordinary day. For we never got any raids or anything like that there. Never. All the streets was lit up at night. Ordinary times. I mean, nothing like that.
You wouldn't have any enemy planes coming over?
No.
Did women join the club?
No, I don't think so. Can't remember any women there at all. No.
No service women?
No.
Why was that?
I don't know. We didn't seem to... I can't remember any of them, any women coming out with us. I don't know why, but we never had any women with us.
Did the Bakshi Wheelers have a proper organisation, like a secretary and committee meetings?
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, as I say, Johnny Walker was the secretary, and Ron Tinker was the racing secretary. He was in charge of all the racing business. Alex Josie, he was the treasurer, I believe. He took, you know, I mean, when we went in for racing, we used to have these, you know, don't have to put in whatever it was, 50p or a pound or something like that. Well, the p, like, it was like we, like our, that was piastres. It's more like the money that we've got today. We had 100 piastres to the pound. So that, you know, when we bought the shilling stamp, you know, to send our mail letters home, that was equivalent to 5p, like, with 5 piastres.